So, Father, we ask that you would do just what we sang, that your word would open our eyes to the beauty of who you are, that you would lead us in your grace. And right now, this morning, Father, as we unpack this beautiful word of yours, we ask that you would do a mighty, redeeming, restorative work in our own hearts this morning. You know where you long to break in, and I pray that we would come as people submitted to you, welcoming your work, because it is always a work of grace. So I pray, come Holy Spirit, come do this among us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to ask this question. What difference would it make in your life if you knew that God was present with you every moment of your day? I want to say it again because probably half weren't listening. What difference, no, I'm just kidding, what difference, it's an important question, seriously, what difference would it make in your life if you truly knew that God was with you every moment of the day? Now, I don't mean thinking about God as someone who's way up high looking down upon us. I'm talking about God's active, intimate presence with us, that he never leaves us. Do you recognize that? Like, if we really were a people who grabbed hold of the reality that God was with us in everything that we did, what would that be like for you? It's a picture of God we're going to look at this morning in the beginning of Gideon's life that we see in this passage in Judges chapter 6, of Gideon coming to understand the reality that God was with him. Not only that God was with him, but that God was intimately involved in the difficulties of life, but as well as being intimately involved in the calling that God placed upon his life. That's what we're going to look at this morning. What does it look like for you and me to understand God's intimate presence with us when trials come, when difficulties come into our lives? How would it begin to change the way you saw those or even welcomed them into your life? But then secondly, we're going to look at what does it look like for us to really understand God's presence with us in the calling that he's placed on our lives, whatever that might be for you and for me. So I want to first unpack the first point that we're going to look at is this. How would knowing that God is with you change your perspective when trials and suffering and hardship enter into your life? How would it change your perspective if you knew truly that God was with you in it? I want to read a part of the passage again from Judges chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." If you were with us last week, we looked at the first half of Judges chapter 6, and we saw that what the Lord had done because of the Israelites' disobedience, because they continued to turn away from God, God gave them into the hands of the Midianites. And so for 7 years, the Midianites plundered all of their crops. In a sense, there was a famine in the land for the Israelites. And so they cry out to God for help. And so this is the context in which Gideon is asking this angel from the Lord these questions. And I love that he says, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord was with us, why has all this happened?" When things get tough in your life, you ever ask that question? God, why has this happened? Right? God, how could you allow this to happen? Or put it in a different way, God, if you were really a loving God, why would I have to go through this? Those are all questions that we understand because those are questions that we bring to the Lord as well when difficulty enters our homes. You see, what we find here looking at Gideon is this. Gideon had allowed his circumstances to distort his view of God. He'd allowed his circumstances to distort his view of God. You see, he began to believe the lie just because it was tough. He began to believe the lie that God had abandoned them. I wonder where you're doing that this morning. I wonder for some of you all if that's where you are. If you're at that place of Gideon, God, why have you allowed this to happen? If you really are that good, you would have never let me be in this situation that I'm in, whatever it might be, right? Or maybe you're like the 13-year-old girl that I heard this story the other day. 13-year-old girl goes to her Bible study teacher and says, I don't think I believe in God anymore. And the Bible study teacher says, why? And she said, well, how can I believe in God who let my parents get divorced? Like, that's real life, friends, isn't it? That's where she is. She's asking, God, if you were really here, why did you allow this to happen, right? Those are the questions that we bring the Lord to the Lord. You see, when life gets tough, we can often go down to that place that God has abandoned us. God, where did you go? Here's what we need to see for this story this morning. The question is this: God, does God care about those external circumstances? Does God care about the difficulty in your life and in mine? Did he care about the difficulty that the Israelites were going through, though they got themselves into that situation? Did God care how hard it was for them those 7 years? Yes, God cared about them. Does God care about the difficulty that you and I go through? Yes, God cares about those things that you and I go through that are incredibly difficult. But do you know what he cares about more? He cares about your heart and mine. What God cares more about, not just the external circumstances that we go through, the difficulty, but what he cares more about is how our hearts are going to be transformed more and more into his image. You see, God works through the difficulties that you and I face every day to do a restorative, a redeeming work, to transform us more and more into the person of Jesus Christ. And I think that's a bit what Paul gets at. As I was thinking about this passage, I was taken right to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. I think this is a bit of what Paul's talking about here. He says this, he writes this, and we don't know, or we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, sometimes it's really hard to feel that and understand that when you're in the midst of the pain and the suffering and the sorrow. It's really hard to know, God, you really are working that for my good? But let me tell you, he is. Because he's doing something far greater. He's reaching our hearts. He's present with us in those moments to transform us, to show us more of himself, and to expose more of what's going on in our lives. And he's doing it, as Paul goes on to write, that for those for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. Yes, God cares about the external circumstances of our lives. He cares about what we go through. But he cares more that you and I would surrender our hearts to him and allow him to use whatever things we go through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to be transformed more into the image of his Son, that we would know God more intimately. That's what he's doing. Let me frame it this way. The great Renaissance sculptor Michelangelo once was asked, when he approached a huge block of marble, the person said, "What do you see when you see that great big block of marble?" Here's how he responded. He said, "I see a beautiful form trapped inside, and it's simply my responsibility to take my mallet and chisel and chip away until the figure is set free." Isn't that beautiful? That is what our God is doing to our lives when we go through those difficult times. He is taking his chisel and his mallet. And if you can imagine that big piece of marble, if it were alive, it would be painful, wouldn't it? When a mallet hits it, when a chisel begins to chisel off, that's what God is doing to us. But he's doing it as a loving father who is caring about where we are and what we're going through. and he wants to lead us through and to set us free. That's what God's doing to the Israelites here in this passage. You know, they had turned away from God. It wasn't that God had forsaken them. They had actually forsaken God and turned to all the gods of the culture. And so God, in his loving grace, comes upon them and begins to chisel away at their lives. And it hurt. It was painful. But he did it to open their eyes to see something far greater, that they would be set free as they came back to the one who loved them so much. You see, friends, you and I have a choice to make when suffering comes and knocks on our door and enters our home. We have a choice to make. We can run from it, right? But we can't run far because it's there. We can become angry at God and yell and say, "Why would you allow this to happen?" But I've done that, and it doesn't really get us anywhere. It doesn't get me anywhere, at least. Or we can come as his children, submitting to him and saying, "God, I don't like it. I don't understand it. But I know who you are. I know that you are good. And I'm going to submit myself to it and say, what do you want to show me?" Do you see the difference there? When difficulty comes into our lives, that we would come not running or not asking that those problems be removed so that our lives become easier. Instead, submitting ourselves to the Lord, saying, "God, how are you wanting to change me? How are you wanting to grow me? What are you wanting to do through this?" It's asking the questions, "God, how are you working in this for my good?" And friends, sometimes that is really, really hard to see. But if we go back to know who our God is, that's exactly what he's doing. He's doing this for our good, that we would see him more. And it's also asking the questions like this, "God, what are you wanting to show me about yourself through this trial? What are you wanting to show me about my own life through this trial?" You see, I think that's exactly what God is wanting to do. And we can do that. We can ask those questions. We can submit ourselves to God when we know this, that God is with us. It makes all the difference in the world. We can't go through those trials unless we understand well, friends, God is with us in them, intimately involved in your life and in mine. You see, our perspectives change when we know who he is and that he's with us in the midst of them. But we also see this in the passage. We see God reframing how Gideon was seeing himself. You see, Gideon needed his paradigm to shift of who God was and what God was doing. And so God's beginning to do that, showing him, "I am with you in this, and I'm doing something, and I'm also going to do something in you." And that's where we see God reframing how Gideon begins to see himself and the calling that God's placed in his life. We see that in verses 12 and 14. We read, "Now the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you.'" Again, we this theme throughout the passage, we hear, "The Lord is with you." It says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And then we read on, "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?'" Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Gideon, I would say the same thing. I'd respond in the same way. Gideon was like, "Who are you talking to? Surely you have the wrong person here." Because Gideon says, "No, I'm of the weakest tribe of Israel. And I'm the weakest of that tribe. Who are you talking to? Who are you calling a mighty man of valor? Certainly not me." But no, God was calling him a mighty man of valor. You see, one of the things in the message is God is declaring what is true of Gideon. And that's a word that you and I need to hear today too. This is a bit of an aside, but Gideon didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor, but God called him a mighty man of valor. You see, we need to listen to what God says is true of us, don't we? Instead of other people. We need to allow the Lord to reframe our identity and hear the words that he says are true. You see, friends, it's God who names us. It's God who declares what's true over you, not yourself and not somebody else. But I fear way too many of us allow others to name us, don't we? We allow others to say who we are or declare our value and worth, right? If you're doing enough for someone, they may say that you're a mighty man or woman of valor, right? But if you don't and you fail them, what are they going to say of you then? Like Gideon, we need to be a people who come and hear from the Lord, not somebody else, what is our true identity. Again, I think there are far too many of us who are listening to other people, and we live our lives as orphans, to use New Testament language, instead of sons and daughters of the King, right? If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. A son of the King, a daughter of the King. That's who you are. It's God who speaks identity over you and me, not somebody else. And so before Gideon could enter into his calling, he had to understand who he was. And God spoke of him and he said, "You are a mighty man of valor." I think there's some of you who need to hear that this morning. That you are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty woman of valor because God declares it so. Only when we know who we are can we enter fully into the calling that God has given us. And so now we see this, is that God was calling Gideon to do something that was far from what he ever imagined. Have you ever been confronted with God calling you to do something that you did not feel qualified to do? Yeah? You know, not many of us are going to be called to go and defeat a king like Gideon was. But every single one of us in this room is we're going to be called to do something that we feel is out of our league. We're going to be called to do something that when we hear that call, we're going to be terrified. Who, me? I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. How often have you said those words? Or if you haven't spoken them, how often have you thought them? I don't have what it takes. You know, those are lies from the pit of hell. Because in Christ, we have everything that it takes. And especially if God calls you and me to something, no matter how overwhelming it might look, if God calls, not only does He provide, but we see that God is with us. And that's what we need to know. That if He calls, He provides, and He is with us. God promises to go with you in whatever He has called you to. Whatever your vocation is, He's called you to that. And God will go with you in it. If you're a student, God has called you to that place right now. And you can know that God will go with you in that. If you're married, if you're a husband or a wife, God has called you to that place. And God will give you what you need and He will be with you in that. If you're a parent, God will be with you in your parenting. And I'm a parent and I know how at times I think, what in the world am I doing? Are my kids really going to make it when they leave the house? You know, you ever thought that? Well, we don't need to be scared of the calling that God's given us when we know that God is with us in whatever He has called us to. You see, throughout this passage, He says, "I am with you." The Lord said to him in verse 16, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." Friends, you and I need to hear this morning, God is with us. But like Gideon, we can become fearful, can't we? Like Gideon, well, let me say it this way. You might walk out of here this morning and say, "I feel like God is with me. I can do it. I can take the hill," right? And then what happens when you wake up on Monday morning? I can't do it. It's too terrifying. It's like the spies that went into the land. 10 of them came back and saw all the giants and said, "There's no way we can take the land." 2 came back and said, "We can do it." You know why? Because they believed that God was with them. They knew that God was with them. But see, Gideon, like us, waffled in his faith. And that's where we see the scene, this famous scene that many of you grew up knowing if you were in church, that the story of Gideon and the fleece. I'm going to read part of it and close with this. So here's what happens. Gideon said to God, and again, he's wavering, going, "God, I need to know that you're here," right? And he said this, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, "Behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And if there's dew on the fleece alone, and it's dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so. He rose early in the morning, and the fleece was wet, and the ground was dry, right? You think, okay, great. I'm going to go take the hill. I'm going to go defeat the Midianites. Well, Gideon is so much like us. He kind of comes again and says, okay, Lord, I saw that, but can I ask you something for, again? And don't we do that, God? Okay, but can I ask you one more time? Can you show me that you're really going to do this? And I love it. It says, "Then Gideon said to God, 'Let not your anger burn against me again,'" or "don't let your anger burn against me. 'Let me speak just once more, please.'" And so then he asks that the fleece would be dry and the ground would have dew on it. And it was so. What's going on here? I think a lot of times we misread that passage and we take that as liberty to say, I'm going to test God, right? And so, God, if you want me to get this job, then let the phone ring by 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I'll get the job, right? Then we know that I'm going to take that job, right? Or sometimes we test God and say, okay, God, if you want me to marry this person, then do this. Then I'll know you want me to marry him, right? Or, God, if you want me to move to this other house, then do this so that I'll know. That's not what is going on here. And that's not a posture that we ought to have before the Lord, because that's testing God in a way that's not trusting him. What Gideon was doing was this. He needed his faith to grow, and he needed to see that God was big. And so he's asking God to be big before him. God, show me how grand you are. Show me that you can do this. As one commentator put it, and I love the way he articulated this, he said, "The fleece is all about how we need to ask God to give us a big picture of who he is. It's not about, God, do this or do this or do this for me. It's about saying, God, show me how grand you are. Because when I see how grand you are, I can walk through whatever you call me to do." When God is that much front and center in our lives. Friends, every single one of us needs to have a grand picture of God always before our eyes. You know the beauty of this? We don't have to respond like Gideon and put out a fleece. Do you know why? Because we know the rest of the story. We know the rest of the story. When we cry out to God, let me see who you are. Show me this grand view of you, God. I need to know it so that I can do what you're calling me to do. Do you know what he says? Look at my son. Look at my son. If you want a grand picture, a large picture of who God is, we have it, friends, in the person of Jesus Christ. And God's word is filled with pictures and stories. If we want to know who he is, dive into it, and you will never exhaust it. And you will always see before your eyes how magnificent our God is, that when we see him, we are reminded that he is with us. Because his name is Emmanuel, God with us. What you and I need to know, when the trials of life come, that Emmanuel has already come, God with us. What you and I need to know, when God has called us to do something that we feel very inept to do, Emmanuel has come, God is with us. And that's why I love, as we read the gospel passage this morning, when God calls his disciples to go out on mission to make disciples, you know what he says? "And I will be with you." What I want you to know this morning is that whatever you're going through, whatever God calls you to, he will be with you. There's no greater confidence, there's no greater message we could hear than the reality that the God that we come to worship this morning is that grand, he's that intimate, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we lay this before you this morning, that you would do this transformative work in our hearts now. Increase our faith to see and to know that you are with us, and give us a boldness to be your witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen.